We're glad you're here. If you're just checking out, we're glad you're here. If you go to watermark.org, our church's website, if you click around enough in the About section and why the name Watermark, you're going to find this. Go ahead and put up kind of some information about why we're called Watermark. It's one slide back. Yeah, there you go. So there's two reasons why this church was named Watermark by the people who started it. All right, there's kind of two definitions for Watermark, and here's what they are. The first one is an impression made on a piece of paper or currency that's visible when it's held up to the light. So on money, there's parts of your dollar bills and $20 bills and $10 bills that if you hold it up to the light, you can see something that you can't see with the naked eye. And so it's a symbol of authenticity. So it's hard for counterfeiters to not only counterfeit the way it looks on the outside, but also the way it looks on the inside when you hold it up to the light. And those watermarks are different for different bills and printed at different times. So it's hard for counterfeiters to keep up. It's to let people know that they are not dealing with something that's counterfeit. Okay. Even so, we want to be authentic people at Watermark who are known for their transparency, integrity, the real thing, and sincerity of heart. We want to be sincere Christians. We want to be true, real believers and not just come in here and do a ritual or tradition or whatever. And then part two is a watermark is a mark showing the height to which water has risen in a flood or during high tide or low tide. The continual presence of water at a certain level leaves a mark until even long after it's gone. Similarly, it's our passion that long after we are gone, evidence that we, God's people, have been here will remain. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're doing this thing called lasting impressions. All right, that is what a watermark leaves, is a lasting impression and a symbol that it's been there even long after it's gone. And KJ's been with us a year, and she's leaving. And Bodie's been with us 4 years, and he's leaving. And so what I've asked them to do is this, to kind of share three different things. One is the lasting impressions of what God's done in their lives, so the marks that God's left in their heart. And I want them to talk about when they were in junior high. Then I want them to talk about their time here at Watermark at this church and what God's done in their lives there, what lasting impressions will be left there. And then they're going to share their hope for you guys in your time here at Wake during 6th, 7th, and 8th grade or however much time you have here, what they hope God would mark onto your heart and what lasting impression would be left there. And so I've given them Psalm 111, 1 through 4 as inspiration. And it says this, "Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart as I meet with his godly people." That's what we do in here every week, is we thank the Lord and we meet together with godly people. "How amazing are the deeds of the Lord. All who delight in him should ponder them. Some of the things he does reveals his glory and majesty." Is that what it says? Is anybody following along? No, it says everything he does. Everything he does reveals his glory and majesty. His righteousness never fails. And he causes us to remember his wonderful works. How gracious and merciful is our Lord. And so I asked them, I said, hey, ponder the amazing deeds that the Lord has done in your life. And remember them. Everything God does is glorious and majestic. And it reveals him. So look back on your life. What has God done when you ponder that? What wonderful works do you remember? And so I've asked KJ these three questions. I'm going to sit up here and kind of interview her and ask her follow-up or whatever. So KJ, come on up here. Where's KJ? KJ's going to come up here. And the first question she's going to answer is, what lasting impressions did you take away from your relationship with the Lord when you were in junior high? So, you know, I haven't been old forever. KJ's not as old as I am. She hasn't been as old as she is forever. We've both been where you guys have been. And what's cool about both KJ and Bodie is they were both seeking the Lord when they were your age, just like you. And so I wanted her to share, hey, what did God do in your life during that time? So KJ, take it away.
Yeah. Well, whenever I was thinking about this question, I was kind of just thinking about, you know, my junior high youth group. And first of all, you guys are so blessed to be a part of this youth group. And just, I don't even think y'all realize, like, how amazing and how much fun it is just to have a small group and to have these speakers. And you know, my youth group didn't look anything like this, but my youth pastor was much like David in that he, you know, he taught truth and really made a lasting impression on my life. Would y'all put up the slide? Yeah. Okay, so these are the three things that whenever I was thinking about kind of what I remember coming out of junior high, going into high school, the things that I feel like the Lord really taught me in security, finding my security in Christ was probably the biggest one. And I've grown a lot in that area. I feel like when I was in junior high, you know, I've not always been very secure in Christ, and there were moments of, you know, wanting to impress people and be like other people. And I was thinking this morning, I was kind of going over everything. And whenever I was in junior high, Doc Martens were like the big thing. They were kind of like the Justin Bieber shoes nowadays. They're like what you want to get or what you want to wear. But we didn't have enough money to get Doc Martens. And so I got these hand-me-down Doc Martens that were blue and white, zebra-striped Doc Martens. And the fact that they were Doc Martens, I thought they were so cool. And so I was like, this is awesome. I'd like match this whole outfit with them. And I was like, I'm going to show up to school with these Doc Martens on, and I'm going to be just so cool. I was like, I'm going to fit in. I'm going to make friends. This is so great. This is my sixth grade year. So you're still trying to make friends, meeting new people. So I show up, and for the whole next year, they call me Zebra Girl because I thought it would be cool to wear zebra Doc Martens. And so all that said, it's good to stand out and be bold, but not in some ways, and especially not in the way that you dress, in the way that, you know, trying to be bold with my style, or at least I couldn't pull it off. Some of you guys probably can pull off crazy styles. But just to say that, like, I definitely in junior high for the first time just started to realize, like, I was able to see who of my friends did find their security in Christ and were believers and who of my friends weren't. And there was a friend of mine, and his name is David, and he kind of lived around my neighborhood, and he just in junior high, he grew up in a really hard home, and just he would come over, and my mom would feed him dinner a lot of nights, and he got made fun of at school a lot. And one Christmas, he ended up committing suicide. And it was probably one of the hardest moments in my life. I've lost both my grandparents, and I cried just as hard over David. And not because he was a close friend or not because, mainly because I knew that, you know, at the same time when David was going through all of these hard things and was trying to find comfort and security in worldly things and wasn't measuring up, you know, I had this comfort and security in Christ, and I wasn't bold enough to share with him, and I wasn't bold enough to stand up for him and to, you know, ask kids not to make fun of him or to at least go up to tell him, like, hey, you don't need to listen to what these kids are saying. It's okay. Like, you know, you're okay just the way you are, and share with him the comfort and security. And so kind of from that moment on, you know, I got to go back and talk to my youth pastor and my leaders through that. And just, you know, from that moment on, I feel like I was all about just being bold in my faith. And I just realized that, you know, I'm not going to let that loner kid who feels awkward just stand there and continue to feel awkward if I notice it. And so something that I took away from just my junior high experiences and just trying to find security in the way I look and the things I have and trying to find security in just, or trying to keep comfort and security to myself, the security I had in Christ, I think I just left that knowing that, like, you know, having that gift from God, like, we need to be examples and we need to shine the light that the Lord has given us and not hide it from others, because y'all have the greatest gift as being a believer to share with other people. And honestly, it's just kind of selfish to keep it to yourselves, and you never know, you know, how you could have changed someone else's life just by being nice to them. And so,
and you told me you think about 2 Corinthians 4:6 a lot.
Yes, two verses that really come to mind, 2 Corinthians 4:6, and it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And so, like I just said, let that light shine, and you have that knowledge, and you know where true comfort and true security comes from. And then Philippians 2:14-16, is that up there? further down into the verse, it says, in a crooked and depraved generation, shine like lights in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And so, you know, I mean, we just live in a crazy world, and I just want to encourage y'all not to be bold in your faith, but to be bold inwardly and to, by the way that you love on others. And that's kind of what my small group's been going through. Last week we talked about just ways that we can love on others in school, and so.
All right, so the second question that I wanted you to answer was, what lasting impressions are going to be left in your life after your time at Watermark? So you didn't grow up here at Watermark. You grew up in Wichita Falls, Texas. You went to A&M. Whoop. Giggle. And that's what Bodie was doing in the video. Whoop, there it is. What lasting impressions, you've been here for almost a year. What are you going to take away from your time here at Watermark?
I would say my two most are just being in a community, which for you guys would be all small group, and just the importance of letting people know what's going on in your life, really being honest and authentic, like David was talking about earlier today, and then just memorizing scripture. That's probably, I think, just the biggest thing, if you guys walk away with anything, is just the importance of memorizing scripture, and that's one of the reasons we do the Memory Minute, because just to have that on your heart and to be able to just, when people ask you questions and you don't know the answer, to be able to lead them back to the Bible and to be able to tell them, you know, what God says about it, because God has never audibly spoken to me. I don't know about you guys, but the Word is His words, and they're His guidance for us. And so just to have scripture and, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, which is the first verse that y'all guys had to memorize, and it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching us what is true and what is good. And just, that's just, you know, God says it right there, like, scripture is to teach us what is good, and it's to for us to share to others. And so, and just the value of community and having friends who are believers and being able to have friends who are like-minded and who go into school and just can encourage you throughout the day when others are discouraging.
Why, you're a grown-up, okay, what are you, 24?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 24-year-old, why do you need community? Because you grew up in a youth group, you've already kind of read the Bible, you know all this stuff, and life's pretty easy once you get out of college and you're a Christian,
mm-hmm.
everything's just, you're joyful all the time and all that. So why do you need community?
Well, whenever I moved to Dallas for the first time, it's a huge city, and people in my community group, Rachel Phelps right out there, it was so lonely for me. It's such a huge city. I didn't have any friends. I constantly was just feeling lonely and out of place and didn't kind of know where I fit in. And in that moment, I feel like for the first time, the Lord just, not for the first time He humbled me, but for the first time, I truly felt like I was completely in a place where I was just isolated and by myself, and the Lord was just kind of like, you have to make friends. And so instead of me just being like, oh, I hate this place, I hate being stuck in traffic and all the things that come with living in a big city and, you know, not knowing people when I go to the store, but, you know, I was able to just find my trust in the Lord. David came to Wichita Falls, and he was like, I feel like you know people everywhere you go because it's a small town.
In Wichita Falls, everybody is like, KJ, how's it going? And they all, their teeth aren't
like
straight,
that.
And their hair's coming out. And they're all wearing cut-off jean shorts. And Hastings is the
jeans.
Only store they have there. It's just Hastings, and people going, KJ! So,
yeah, and
so hey, just so you guys know, hey, when you go to college, when you go to high school, when you get out of college, the problems you have now don't necessarily go away. They just are more, you know, they're just grown-up problems now instead of kid problems. You still get lonely. You still feel isolated. Life still is hard, and you still need people in your life to encourage you and support you. Last question. What lasting impressions would you hope that this group takes away from their junior high years?
Yeah, go ahead and put those up. Yeah, okay. So I said to care as much about what Christ thinks about you as you do what others think about you. And that's really just, like I said in the first thing, just finding your security in Christ, and because that's going to be what is going to last. And then secondly, I said to memorize scripture, which I said earlier. But the last point I haven't talked about is really to stay pure in what you do and what you think. And you guys, this is huge. And I know that David had a dating talk, and I'm so glad. We loved, me and my small group loved that, and there was a lot of awkward tension whenever we were talking about dating and boys and all that stuff. But, you know, I just got that from a young age, and maybe because I went to Kanakek and we signed, like, this purity covenant, which means nothing. Signing stuff, wearing a purity ring, that doesn't mean anything. It's really where your heart is. But I'm engaged now, and I love Michael with all of my heart, and I would say that I would, you know, never regret not kissing another guy until Michael, and he's my first kiss, and he's my only kiss, and I just, you know, I'm able to, you know, carry that as part of my testimony, and, you know, I'm not saying that if you've ever kissed anyone, that's wrong, but, you know, I am just saying that.
I am.
No. But I am saying that it's just dumb. Important. It is the most important thing because it just guards your heart, and it allows you for a long time to just be sensitive to what the Lord has for you, because you're not distracted by all these other things, and just purity of mind and purity of heart, like talking, gossiping, boys, things that you look at and things that you talk about, and the ways you talk about girls and girls, the ways you let your heart go to these romantic fantasy places. So, I mean, just protect that. And so, yeah, just striving, and I would say within your community or small groups, to just keep each other accountable and just be like, you know, how are you doing with this? And, but yeah, that's a big one.
What a great example that Michael is getting a bride that is his alone, and that there aren't pieces of her heart just scattered all around. And he's getting the leftovers, but he's getting all of her. And that's a great thing. And that's a great thing for you guys to strive for. Hey, here's how I'd like to close. There's nothing magical about this, but just to show KJ that we love her, I'd love for any of the leaders who are in KJ's community group or close to her, and then her small group girls, to come up here and just kind of gather around her, and then I'm going to pray for her. This is her last wake, and so we just want to pray for her and her marriage and what's next in her life in Wichita Falls. Is anybody from her small group here? Yeah, girls, it's okay. Come on up on stage. And you guys just kind of, you know, yay, put your arms around her and, you know, not like awkwardly on her stomach or anything. But just, you know, let her know that you're there for her, and let's just pray for her. Lord, I thank you so much for KJ and the year that you've given her with our ministry, and the way that she was just not afraid to hold anything back and jump up here on stage and be silly so that church can be fun for these students. And I thank you for her commitment to her small group and her girls in her community group, that she was faithful to teach God's word and to model what it's like. And I thank you for the example that she set with her fiance, Michael, and their relationship and the purity that they've strived for. And I just pray for their marriage, that it would be one that would honor you. And just like Christ loves the church, that they would be a man and a woman who love each other sacrificially and unselfishly, to be an example of you and your love for us. I pray for her job in Wichita Falls and their home and all the friends they're going to make there and their new life. God, that you are just laying out that path for them, and that blessing and honor would be before them as they turn their hearts and seek you. I thank you for her again, Lord, and all that she's given here at Watermark and the lasting impression that she's left on all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, guys, there's no wake next Sunday. We've got baptism service outside. It's going to be really fun. Hey, if you want to come up and thank KJ and say goodbye to her, that would be great.